And this particular class is on stewardship and the gospel, our responsibilities as far as stewardship is concerned, and the gospel. Before we begin, Brother Foy is going to lead us in our prayer.
Our righteous Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. And we thank you, Father, for all the things that you do for us each day of our lives. Help us to realize that we belong to you and that we can do nothing without you. You have blessed us so abundantly and will continue to bless us as long as we live. Help us, Father, to study your word and lay it up in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Help us, Father, in the study of your word tonight that we may learn better how to serve you. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
To take a cue from Brother Dickey. Last quarter, he began each class with a song that tied in with a lesson. And as I was thinking about this lesson this week, I thought, you know, there's some really good songs that would tie in with this lesson really well. And so at this time, we're going to ask Brother Joe to come and to lead us to number 616.
Thank you.
Into our hands the gospel is given. And that's what we're talking about in this lesson tonight. And I'm going to pull another quick one on you. I want you to turn to page 13. We're going to answer the questions first. So I've given you fair warning last week that I wanted you to go ahead and do the questions. And I hope that we'll have some participation. You know, I can remember years ago at River Bend, everybody in the class would answer questions. Do y'all remember that? Some of you remember that? Some of you weren't there. Everybody answered questions. And now it's, you know, I have people say, I really don't want you to call on me, so sure y'all won't call on me. Jackie, I won't call on you either. We had that discussion prior to class. Okay. Page number 13, Stewardship of the Gospel. Number one, explain the role of a steward. We talked about this last week. Somebody help me. What is a steward?
A person who's put in charge by a master to take care of the possessions of the master.
Yeah, something that's not his, but he has a responsibility to care for those things for someone else. And this whole book is about our stewardship in our relationship to God. Number two, list some things that Christians have been entrusted with today.
Talents.
Time, talents.
Money.
Money.
The gospel.
The gospel.
Our lives.
Our lives. Our whole lives.
Family.
Family.
Our souls.
I'm sorry?
Did somebody say our souls?
No, I don't think so. Our Thank souls. You. Very good. Our souls. What else?
Church.
The church. Yes.
All right.
The material things that we've been given, the blessings that we've been given. So there's a lot of different areas of stewardship, and we're going to touch on a lot of those different areas in this study during this quarter. Number three, what was Paul entrusted with?
Gospel.
He was entrusted with the gospel. We're going to go back and read these passages, especially 1 Corinthians 9, 16, 17, as we get into the lesson. Describe how the gospel is passed on to others according to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2.
Teaching.
Teaching. Faithful man. Which will teach others. Okay? And you can just carry that on out, can't you? It will teach others. It will teach others. And that's how the gospel is to be carried forward. All right. Number five, list some things that Christians can do to know more and understand more about the gospel. Okay. I think that's a good starting point, right? To study to show yourself approved. Okay.
Believe.
Believing. Yes. And believing not just a mental consent to something, but that which would cause us to do something as a result of that belief, which I call faith. I don't know if that's the right word. Bob? Yes. Yeah. Taking advantage of any opportunity that we can to improve ourselves spiritually. I have enjoyed this daily Bible reading program. I hope most of you, all of you, are involved in that. But what I found out about myself and what I knew about myself going into this is that I was scared to death I'd get behind. Any of you feel like that? So, buddy, I knocked out about the first 10 weeks, about the first 2 weeks. So I got ahead, and I'm still ahead. But you know what? I'm finding myself actually backing up. And I don't want to get behind in that daily Bible reading. And I guess we still have some of those sheets back here. Don't call me that if you want to pick up some of those and start reading them. And I don't read them. I don't read them the way they're on the list a lot of times. And I think that's understood, because if he starts in Romans, I don't want to bounce around, okay? I'm going to go ahead and get my Romans read. But I like this mixture of the Old and New Testament, don't you? You enjoy me? We read some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament, Psalms, throw those in there. It's wonderful. Okay, number 6. According to Hosea 4, verse 6, what happens when God's people did not know God's word? People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That was a problem during the days of Hosea. And I've been asked to speak on the book of Hosea in July, I think, at College View's summer lecture series. So I've been studying Hosea. Somebody tell me what that book's about. It's one of those minor prophets, right? What's it about? It's about Israel. In fact, I think out of the 12 minor prophets, there's really only two that's really pointed toward Israel. There's one toward Nineveh, Jonah, and then the other's primarily toward Judah. But what was the problem in Israel? This was a part of it. A lack of knowledge. Why was there a lack of knowledge? I guess that's where we need to go, because maybe that's something we need to deal with today.
Spiritual adultery.
Spiritual adultery, and that's really the thrust of, especially the first three chapters there. He's told to take a wife that's unfaithful, and he has these three children and so forth. And she leaves, and he's told to, I don't know if he's told to go back and take her or somebody else. I hadn't figured that out yet. Homer Haley says he goes back to take her back. That's his take on. But what's God teaching Hosea through all of that? That he wants us back. Yeah. And I've tried to put this in my mind. How would I describe the book of Hosea? It's a book about a faithful God and unfaithful people. And God really wants to save his people, doesn't he? But does he? We can answer this two ways. Does he save his people? Yes and no. He saves a remnant. Okay. They're carried into Assyrian captivity, right? The 10 of the tribes. But it's always kind of interesting, been interesting to me, that when those people come back into the northern part of the country there, Palestine, that's really where the strongest people of God are at the time of Christ. Or so it seems to me. And that's where Jesus was from. Okay, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why was there a lack of knowledge?
They didn't take Moses' advice to talk about it when they sit down, when they lie down, when they rise up.
Okay. Somebody dropped the ball, right? Somebody didn't do the job. But the country itself started off on the wrong foot. How did it start off?
Jeroboam's calf worship.
Yeah. And two calves, golden calves that were to be their gods, and where they were to worship. Where were they located? North and south? And above them? Yeah, and he would reject them. There's one place in the book of Hosea where he says, I will not reject you, though. And I think you have to qualify that. I think he means, I'm not going to reject you right now. I think that's the context of that particular passage. But I'll tell you what, when we forget about God, and we lose our knowledge about God, and we don't know how to teach people about God, we're not going to be very good stewards of the gospel, are we? We're not going to be very productive. Okay, number 7. What all is involved in believing the gospel? We touched on this. Ed said that we need to believe it, obviously. So what's involved in that? What?
Most times talk about believing means obedience.
Okay. Over here?
Knowing
it. And is there a difference between knowing it and knowing about it? Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, maybe splitting hairs there. I don't know.
One of the things that came to me, my mind, and that was accepting it as the Word of God.
Okay.
For so many people accept it in a way, but they don't trust in it as God's Word. It's good teaching.
And good moral teaching. And they don't grasp that concept of deity, I think, is where you're going with all of that.
On top of our quote there, ways of administrator stewardship, by knowing the gospel, by believing it, by loving it, by living it, and by teaching it to others.
Right.
It's the power of God to salvation.
It is the power of God to salvation. Rod?
Even Satan knew the scripture, did he not?
Yeah.
So just knowing it's not enough.
The devils also believe in what?
Tree.
And a lot of times we find people today that claim to be members of the church and they believe it and they don't even tremble. This is serious business. I guess that's what we're getting to in all of this. We need to understand. Okay, number 8. I'm going to leave that because I'm going to come back to that. And the things that Doris just read off, we're going to go back and delve into those in just a moment. But number 9, list some ways that the gospel can be applied in the 5 areas of the Christian life. At home, how can the gospel be applied?
By praying and also by trying to live a sinless life.
Yeah. And you know, when you're trying to do that by yourself, that may be somewhat different than trying to do that in front of other people, right? This is all about you personally. Your personal relationship to God. What else?
Teaching your children.
Obviously, that's an important aspect of this. What else?
I would say kindness.
Kindness?
Kindness to our family members.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we can be sharp with our words.
Yeah.
And not kind.
Somebody had another comment.
Hospitality.
That's important. Now, I want to go back to this kindness thing, though. Paul said, love is kind. Yeah. I never will forget that, and this was 50-something years ago, a good friend of mine got married. And I remember going to visit him after he got married and sitting on the porch outside talking to him. And his wife said something, and he was so ugly to her. And that passage just hit me. Love is kind. That marriage didn't last very long. And I think maybe the biggest reason is because there was not any kindness in that. That may have been just a portion of it, but certainly that was a part of it. Love is kind. At work, what can we do at work? What? Set a good example. How do we set a good example?
Work.
By working? Not by goofing off? Yeah. Bob?
I put down letting them know that you're a Christian by your works.
Do you think people really see what you're all about at work? I think they do. Yeah, they should. You know, there were some things that were mentioned in here, or in some material that I came across. One of them was, when you're at work, what about saying a prayer before you eat your food? Do you think that could have a positive impact on people? I think it might be able to do that. Honesty, integrity, confidence in your job, in the community. What can you do in the community to show that you are a Christian?
You're shining light.
Let your light shine. Yeah. The proper kind of light. Kindness, gentleness, willingness to help others. They see in you a real person. In our civil government, how can we demonstrate our stewardship? I'm sorry?
That's
the hardest work. Yeah. Pray. Pray for whom?
Leaders.
Our leaders, yeah. No, we can do that. That's good, right there. Don't cheat on your taxes.
Obey all laws.
Obey all the laws. And 55 means what? 60 or less. Obey all laws. Are those suggestions, by the way?
But it is no better in driving in Florence if people are allowed to run, three people are allowed to run the red line.
But if you're number four. Okay. All right. And in the local church, how can we demonstrate stewardship?
Love one another like we're supposed to.
Yeah. Loving one. What does that mean? Love one another.
Be here
is part of it. That's a great part of it, isn't it? But people can see a good example on your part. Loving each other, caring for each other, trying to help each other, learning what you can, doing the best you can. Okay. All right, let's move on. Comment?
Being of one mind in the gospel.
What?
Being of one mind in the gospel.
Of one mind in the gospel. I like that. All right. We are stewards of the gospel by, and this is what Doris read for us, which was one of the bullets there, the big bullet, I guess, on page 11. But we're stewards of the gospel by, first of all, knowing the gospel. So how do we know the gospel? Study the word of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. All right. So we've got to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present your bodies approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of God, handling the right word of God. That takes work, doesn't it?
Sometimes we might need help, like the Ethiopian eunuch, help, he asked for help.
That's right, yeah. What does this mean? And so sometimes that needs to be us. Turn to Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. You're familiar with this passage. Judges 2, verses 10 through 13. David, would you read that for us, please, when you find that?
I'll get to it. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Mm-hmm. And also all the generation gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, and knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Followed their gods, followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around them, and bowed themselves down under them, and they proved the Lord, they provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth.
Okay. So there arose a generation knew not the Lord nor the things that he'd done for them. How'd that happen?
Weren't taught. They were not taught.
Somebody didn't teach. Well, who's the somebody? Let's get specific.
Generation before.
Mom and Daddy.
Specific.
Mom and
Daddy.
Priest.
The priest.
Okay.
They forgot Deuteronomy 6. Yes. They didn't keep those before them. The words of the Lord before them, as they were told in Deuteronomy chapter 6. What kind of influences did they have from people around them?
They kept bad company.
They kept bad company. And that's exactly right. So this bad company caused them to do what? According to the passage we just read, they turned to what? Tithers. Isn't that sad? Now, what was the specific instructions given to the children of Israel when they went into the promised land? What were they to do with the people in the land? Read it. Why? Yeah, in a blank.
Not just them, but their places of worship.
Yeah. And what happened is that in a real sense that Israel or the children of Israel come in and conquer this land, and then the people turn around and conquer them. So, how'd that happen?
Not
okay.
They didn't
obey
what they were
talking
about. Well, they didn't.
Then they married outside.
That's the key right there, I think, yeah, that they intermarried with these idolatrous people. And they were influenced by these idolatrous people. And so they turned from the Lord. And so, we need to be real careful about those kinds of things. Okay, we're stewards of the gospel by believing the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. Somebody read that for me. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Question. Are we ashamed of the gospel? What do you think?
I think we don't like to admit it, but yes, sometimes we do.
I think you're right.
What? It's easier to be ashamed. I think we all skip opportunities where Paul would have said something that we probably don't.
Because when you're out there, Jeff, promoting the gospel and you're trying to teach people, how do people look at you?
Like you're a weirdo.
You're a weirdo. You're strange. You're different.
But on the other side of that weirdo look is that we're kind of told they're going to look at us like weirdos. So for me, it makes it better. Like, I know they're going to look at me like a weirdo.
Yeah.
So I do it anyway, as best I can. Not as much as I should, but the weirdo look cements my faith, I guess.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Lost something. I'm falling apart here. Okay. So it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes.
Notice there in Romans that we were just reading that we're saved. God's power to save. Notice that next verse. For if the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. What are the two different faiths there? From faith, the gospel faith, to our faith.
I think you're exactly right. And this is a quote from Habakkuk somewhere. Somebody may have that passage, but I know it's from Habakkuk. From faith to faith. I remember Paul Earnhardt one time was preaching on this, and he said, I don't know what that means. He said, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I think it means something else. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I think it means something else. Sunday, I think it means something completely different. So what do you think he's talking about here when he talks about from faith to faith? Any thoughts on that?
The ESV says from faith for faith.
Faith for faith. Okay. So, is there a difference between your faith and the faith?
We hope not, but it could be. The faith is the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Yeah.
There is one faith, one gospel for all. And unless we, if we believe something different, we're wrong.
In the denominational world, that's especially true.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of different faiths.
Faith is plural.
Yeah. But there is the faith.
Right. So, what is the faith?
God's Word.
God's Word. Okay. Yeah. That which is delivered to us through God's Word. What's the other faith that's mentioned here, you think? Other than the faith?
Our faith.
Your faith. Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about. Just shall live by faith. Their faith is in line with the faith. And I think that's where the salvation is. Anybody else have a comment? Okay. We're servants of the gospel by loving the gospel. And I skipped the question of this. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Psalm 119. We want to read about two or three different verses here, passages here in Psalm 119. Because as I read the things that are written in Psalm 119, I'm just amazed at the things that are said. Psalm 119, verse 97. Somebody read that for me.
Oh, how I love your law, it's my meditation all the day.
Oh, how I love your law. Do we love it? Do we love the law of God? I read this psalm and I see a man that loves God, loves the law of God. It is my meditation all the day. How often do we meditate on the law of God? Can we learn from this? Look at number 163. Somebody read that for me. Number 165. All right. Great peace have those who love your law. Well, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? And nothing causes them to stumble. We're stewards of the gospel by living the gospel. Somebody quote Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23 for me. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. But he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Right? And then he goes on to say, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name. And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. But here's some people that had a mental knowledge of the gospel. But were they putting it into practice? Obviously not. And I think that's why he shares that particular passage with us. Colossians 1:23. Let's turn over there. Colossians 1:23. Somebody read that for me. Okay, not moving away from the hope of the gospel. I think the idea there is this particular point, living the gospel. That is our life. That's the manner of life that we live. And then we're stewards of the gospel by promoting the gospel. And there's a number of things I've to add to this, but how do we promote the gospel?
By living it.
Okay. By living it.
Very good.
What else?
Teaching it.
By teaching it and preaching it. That's the first point I have here. And I have a number of different verses about that, but I'm not going to go into that.
We do a good job here in supporting foreign missionaries. Philippines, India.
And, Doris, I'm afraid we forget that. That what we do here brings about the salvation of souls in other countries. So we need to buy into that. We need to grasp that. Okay, what we're doing here is resulting in the salvation of souls in a number of places throughout the world. Good point.
By sharing the food.
I'm sorry?
By sharing it.
By sharing the gospel, yes.
Have the opportunity to, you know, share sermons that are on our website.
Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes the comments I get from people that have no connection with the church here, that have listened to our website and listened to the sermons and have been affected by that. I think Miss Lorenda mentioned that to me also, that she had listened to some of those sermons before she ever came here. What about defending the gospel? Do we defend the gospel? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to always give a defense to everyone who asks you of the hope that lies within you in meekness and fear. Now, what does that passage say to you personally? You need to be able to do what? What?
Stand up for Jesus.
You need to personally be able to defend the gospel. You need to personally be able to tell people what the gospel is about and what you did to obey the gospel. You see all that? What about this? What about edifying other people? I think that's an important part of promoting the gospel. Certainly so. There's so many passages we can look to point that out, that we are to edify one another. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So that involves some preparation on our part, doesn't it? We need to be prepared to be able to go forth and to do that. Now let me ask you a question. We're talking about promoting the gospel. How can we hinder the spread of the gospel? Okay. What else? Not being the kind of examples that we ought to be.
Say and do not.
Say and do not. Not supporting others as they try to serve Christ. Refusing to give financially to the spread of the gospel. Discouraging those who are trying to preach and teach. Not growing in the faith. Not encouraging the work of those who are doing the work. Our Bible class teachers, elders, deacons, preachers, so on and so forth. Well, let's move on now and look at this. This is a survey that was done several years ago. I don't have the date on this. I may have it somewhere in my writings. But the question was asked, what was responsible for you coming to this church? A survey conducted by the Institute for American Church Growth. What do you suppose are the factors that would cause someone to want to come to this church.
Somebody invited them.
What?
Somebody invited them.
Invite somebody?
Friends.
Friends? I'm sorry?
Someone seeking something else.
Someone is seeking? Yeah. And a lot of times they find things when they seek Him. Yeah. So let's look at these statistics. How does special need 3%? I don't know what that means, but maybe it comes back to what you're talking about. They were looking for something. They had some kind of need, so they show up when the doors open and come in and sit down, and maybe somewhere along the way they convert. You just walked in. Have we had people to do that here? Have we had people to obey the gospel that just walked in here? Yeah. 6% said, I like the ministry.
It'd be hard.
Sir?
I just made a joke. I said it would have been higher if it was just you.
Well, I think this speaks to the fact, Paul, that a lot of times ministers think they have a lot more influence than they think they do. Obviously, not a whole lot of influence in the great scheme of things, right? But I tell you what, if you've done a lousy job, you're not going to have much of an influence.
I think the main thing is finding the church that preaches the truth.
Preaches the truth. Okay. But if you just walk in the door, do you know what the truth is? Probably not. So, 1% said, well, I just visited there, and I kind of like folks. Well, that's nice, isn't it? And somebody says, I like the Bible classes. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of work goes into our Bible classes, right? But if that's only going to garner 5%, then that's not a great percentage. However, that's 5% more than none, right? I attended the gospel meeting. 0.5% Let me ask you a question. How many of you can remember somebody obeying the gospel during a gospel meeting? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 How many years ago was that?
I was going to say it's been a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
And that used to be a way that people were really reached. And people in the community would come out in the droves, they'd fill up the buildings, they'd sit outside the windows. They would listen from their front porches surrounding the building, and they were converted by gospel meetings. I like gospel meetings. I don't want to stop them, but the purpose, for all practical purposes, is that we're not going to convert people in gospel meetings. We may edify ourselves, we may strengthen some others. By and large, we're not going to baptize them. Someone says, well, I like the programs. Okay, that's great. So you add all that up, and you get about what percent?
21.5
How about this one? A friend or relative invited me, 79%. So that really is the clincher. That is you carrying the gospel to others. That is you encouraging other people. That is you trying to edify others and study with others and bring them in. And that's where the great result comes in. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you so much for your participation. I appreciate it.